Hello and welcome to another episode of VR Side Chats. Hope you're all well. So this week I bring the audio from my interview with VR producer Maria Corsial at the VR Altspace event we did a few weeks back. Maria is the co-founder of one of Germany's leading visual effects and VR studios in Germany, Faber Corsial. We talked about their short film Second Step, which transports you from the moon to Mars and beyond. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Okay, so, big emoji applause for our guest Maria, who is the producer on Second Step.
Thank you.
You guys are crushing it. This is awesome. So Maria, thank you for coming this evening, or this afternoon, or this morning, wherever you are in the world. Do you just want to just give us a little background on yourself and how you got into VR?
Yeah, of course. So I have to talk about me and a bit of my former fellow student, Jörg, who is now my husband. So we founded our company 20 years ago, and we started doing 3D animations. 3D animations, visual effects, for quite a long time, for public broadcasters, exhibitions, films, whatever. And so we did a lot of very interesting, special, fascinating worlds, realms, and we always wanted to be inside of them. And we even thought of creating a sphere to be inside it and to watch our content. So, we had the opportunity when Oculus had been launched in 2014. And so we were, right at the beginning there in VR. We were intrigued by that. So that's our story.
Amazing. That's very cool. So how did the idea for Second Step come about? What drew you to telling a story about space travel?
Yeah. We did a lot for public broadcasters, and we also do at the moment because we have to earn money, and so we would love to do only things in VR, but not at the moment. So we have to do a lot of 3D animations also, and so we have been asked to be part of a production about Earth, the Moon, and Mars, and we should produce the 3D animations for them for this for these episodes. And we thought of why not doing a VR film about that one. And we talked with them, and because they were the first one who commissioned us also for the VR film. So they thought this would be a good idea. And so let's do it. And that was the start. And I have to say, it was very good to have these partners, because we got all freedom we needed. We could produce a film like we wanted it to be. So this was the start of the Second Step.
It's perfect. So how much research went into this beforehand, or were you guys pretty knowledgeable on this kind of thing already?
We had a bit of a research before, because we had to do all these animations, and there were of course also animations about how Earth started, or how Moon became the Moon, how the Moon became the Moon, and so on. But of course, we needed more our research, and we had a great contact at ESA, at the European Space Agency. And so we talked a lot with him. We had a lot of phone calls, and he was a great guy who wasn't the one who just told us, oh, okay, so I'm not sure about that because it's future. And so we don't know exactly. So he just said facts, which could be, maybe not, but which could be so. And so this was great, so to work with that. And the other one, of course, were all the lot of data we had to do research for regarding the complete soil, the complete area, the whole of Moon and Mars, of the Moon and the Mars had to be so scientific as possible.
I mean, it's an incredible looking film. And I love that it places you on like at the surface of these planets, like the Moon and Mars and stuff as well. And it's, you know, it's probably the closest a lot of us are ever going to get there in our lifetime. So it was just an incredible experience. So what was the biggest challenge in making the film?
So the biggest challenge in VR is still producing a VR film. So because it's so different to normal film, and you have everything is in 360, everything is stereo 3D because we always produce stereo 3D, and so the soil and everything, it's so close to you, and you can see such a lot of details which are so close to you, so which wouldn't be in normal film everyone at any time. And so this is such a bunch of work, and you have to think about this production process, because at first we have to check everything, to render and to do the post-production within computer. And afterwards, we have to put it on the glasses and then to check everything in the glasses. And suddenly you see such a lot of mistakes and wrong details and whatever. And so you have to do the whole again. So it will be better in the future. We do have other possibilities now regarding software and hardware, but this was for success, for example. It has to be like that.
It's quite an extensive workflow, to say the least.
It is. Yeah.
Worth it though. Worth it. I say it's just it was so good. I'm a big like sucker for anything to do with space. I'm like fascinated by space, but I'm also like terrified of heights. So anything like above floating above like the moon and stuff like that, I was like panic mode. But it's stunning.
What you do it very softly, so I think it's okay, isn't it?
I was fine. I wasn't sick, or I didn't fall over neither. So I'd take that as a win.
So
how do you see the future of like immersive films? What do you think is going to be open up to mass adoption?
So we love immersive films, and so we hope, of course, that there will be a lot more people who are very interested in it. And of course, it has to be much more very, very good content, very good content in all topics you can have, like on typical platforms for films. And and when people have good content and they have a look at it and they say, wow, that was so great, I want to have another film, and I want to watch another film, then that's a great start. And the other one is, I think, so like here in this VR area, in this VR social VR world, this is a great opportunity to rise all these, the whole VR stuff. So thank you to that.
Absolutely.
Thank you to all you guys.
So what advice would you give to like any creators looking to make a VR film?
So at first, of course, you should ask yourself, is it worth to produce it in VR? Of course, you have heard this more often, I think, but yeah, it's very important. And so when you think, of course, it's worth to produce that in VR, then you should just a few advices. So we learned that time is another one when you are in VR. So we had to learn all our scenes. So we doubled the time of most of our scenes. So orientation is a big issue in VR. So where do I am? So I need time to orientate and to look where I am. And we try to add a few scenes with a more as a more wide shot or global shot, so that people have a look from outside on the moon or the Mars. Or Mars, and then okay, I'm here, I'm there, and so I don't have to orient myself so long. And so these are quite a few interesting, and you always have to have something close to you, so this is very great to be to have a very immersive feeling. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what any like upcoming projects for you guys next in yeah, any follow-ups maybe?
Yeah, you mentioned space, so in the meantime we produced another film about space.
Okay.
It's a predecessor of Second Step. It's called First Step.
Oh, and I love it.
It's about yeah, it's about the Apollo missions, because
this
year was 50th anniversary, and so we'll launch that film internationally, I think, during next week or so.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and that's with the same intensity and same reality of the scenes, that it just has this photorealistic feeling, starting with the elevator rising and then the launch of the rocket, and it is. And in future we are thinking about another great a very great project, so it will have a mythological topic, and
okay.
We think a lot about that. We talk a lot about that, and so so it
I'm excited
it will last
about this.
A while. Yeah. We are also very excited about that. Yeah,
because that was a great moment in Second Step, where like you're there at the moment of the moon landing, and then you're sort of watching one of the astronauts sort of coming down the ladder, and then suddenly you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you've gone from watching the entire cardboard footage to actually just standing there next to the the ship. It was just incredible.
Exactly. So we placed this VR camera at exactly that place where this camera at the lander was fixed. And so it was the same view, and so this was amazing. And in this film First Step, we also used the the archive material, the archive photos of the astronauts for the background. Okay. So everything what you see on the when you are on the surface on the moon, on different places, and the background is produced out of the archive photos of the Apollo missions. And that's a very special feeling, I think, yeah. But we had to produce the foreground by ourselves, but we used all these photos and modeled each stone, so that it's a very authentic feeling, yeah.
Excellent. I can't wait for this one. I particularly I need to see it, like, now. Okay, let's open up to some questions.
Okay, so here's my question.
This question needs to be good now.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, we talk about the wonders of VR, and we talk about how amazing this technology is, and people finally have a chance to interact with it on like a personal basis of actually getting the experience going in and doing something in virtual reality. What are you or your company or your team that you are working with doing in order to make sure that that experience is afforded to as many people as possible?
Yeah, of course. That's the most interesting question we also have for us. Yeah. And yeah, we, for example, and that's a good start to distribute our film via VR, because so we have the possibilities that there are a lot of people who can watch the film, and there will be also an app at Oculus, and there will also be other platforms, and we try to distribute it also via location-based venues, and maybe also planetariums or something like that. But we have to do to make our own experiences during the next year, because we just started to distribute our films, and so it will be very interesting also for ourselves to know how good and how perfect this will work. And yeah, that's the situation at the moment.
Appreciate the answer. Thank you.
Cool. Zeke, where are you?
I'm over here.
Give us a wave.
Hi, Zeke.
Where? Give us a wave.
Oh,
there you are. You're inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Go for it.
All right. My question is, I'm in Inspiring 360 VR and the capabilities, but how do you make, when you're making a 360 video, how do you make the pixels or, because the software I use is 1920 by 960, how would you be able to make the picture more clear and less blurry around that 360 to make it more crystal clear for VR people and less blurry?
So when we only have this resolution you mentioned, so we don't have any possibility to do anything about that. But for example, for I mentioned our VR film first, and we want to produce also an 8K version of that one, and so I think in 2020 there will be quite a few goggles which are able to have this resolution, and therefore you will have a very great and crisp quality like you spoke of. And it's not possible at the moment, and we try to produce it as perfect as possible. For example, I didn't mention when we started with Second Step and we did our first images in VR and we looked at them and these images about space, and we thought we watched the space in our glasses and we have a huge and wide space, but we didn't. It was like looking at in a room at a wallpaper a few meters away from you. And we tried to do a lot of tricks to produce, even in this low resolution space, which has this wideness, which is needed for space, of course. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, next up. Nicely.
Yeah, you're up. Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Great. I can. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is more of a funny question, but also a kind of functional one as far as doing anything. So you've heard the expression, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, does it make a sound? So I was wondering if you have like a space that you created and you had a video player playing it, say on a live stream that was like 24 hours, 7 days a week. Does a video player in the world in alt space, if no one's around to see it or hear it, does it make a sound?
We've got really deep here.
Yeah. That's a more philosophical question, isn't it?
Maria, feel free to say this one.
Sorry?
I'm going to say yes. I reckon it probably
I'm
does.
I'm thinking yes. I'm inclined to say yes as well, but I was kind of wondering, like, should we be, like, even considering this stuff from an energy standpoint or just, like, a functional standpoint or, like, use of servers, lagginess, whatever? Should we be considering these things when we're doing things? That's kind of a fundamental question.
I'm not sure what you mean, because so as long as people watch these films now, and I think about our films, so everything's fine for me. So they hear it, they listen to it, and they watch it, and so we had such some very special situations. So there were people, they had wet eyes when they put off their glasses after watching Second Step, and this was a very special moment for us. Yeah, very. So yeah, I think it's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Cheers, Nicely.
You're welcome.
Zeke, did you have another question?
Oh.
You've popped up.
Oh,
no. You've popped up on my list again.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. No worries. Spicy Gumball. What a name. I love this. You're up.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, thank you so much for hosting this, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. It's truly a pleasure. As a filmmaker myself, I'm always curious about just technology and how it does progress. And I'm really curious, in regards to making this film, how many 360 cameras do you use, and what type of 360 cameras did you use as well?
So I have to admit, there were no 360 cameras. It's all done, or it's all produced as a 3D animation. So there's one exception, and that's the actress being within the spacesuits. And so even the spacesuits have been designed and created in 3D. And we filmed the actors in front of green screen. And it's a special camera we used for that, a special one we built for ourselves. And so we just used the heads of the actors and inserted them into the digital spacesuits. So that's it when it comes to 3D cameras. Sorry for that.
Oh, yeah, no worries. That's a lot. Thank you so much.
No, yeah, 360 cameras were harmed in the making of this film. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else have any questions? If you, oh, here we go. So,
yes,
you are live.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Quest and some other vehicles to view this, but is it in the library, or how do we view these films?
The Quest is just the hardware, the glasses I use at the moment. But second step is in the VR library to look at. And the film which I mentioned, first step, isn't at the moment, but
okay.
I hopefully will be maybe in a few weeks or something like that. Yeah.
Great. I appreciate it. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Are you on the Quest yourself?
I have a Quest. Right now I'm on the Windows Mixed Reality, Oculus Plus.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because at the moment, second step is out on Veer. But yeah, at the moment, Veer's not out on the Quest, although you can sideload it. If you email support at veer.tv, they'll send you all the details on how to sideload it.
I've sideloaded other things, so I'll definitely sideload it.
You've got this then. You're a natural. Thank you. Okay, right, who's next? Zeke, you're on my list again.
Yep. I was curious, what software did you use to make the film, if it was all in the 3D animation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The software we used most of the time is 3ds Max and ZBrush and the post-production and Maya also. And the post-production has been was in Nuke, so these are our main. These were our main four programs we used for that. No Unreal, no Unity. It's a film. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nicely, you're on my list again. It's going to get deep.
No, not this time. I'll have a more practical approach this time. Sorry. I'm experienced as an animator in Maya. Mm-hmm. Also, I work as a more of a video maker. I wouldn't call it filmmaker, but what's the step from going from, say, 2D normal videos, 2D animations, and then combining that Maya? What's the learning curve to do something in VR from there? Is it just astronomical, like a huge gulf to do that, or is it doable for someone like me?
Yeah, I think so. It's not any longer so problematic because you have more and more possibilities within the 3D programs. And as I mentioned before, or also, for example, in the post-production program. So we don't have to do this step in between to check everything at the computer and then to put it on the glasses and then to control if everything is fine. So you can do it directly within the glasses and have, especially at that time, all the control you need. And so most of the companies who are producing these 3D programs and also post-production programs, they have inserted now all the possibilities you need to produce right and perfect VR film. So not a big step any longer. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's nice.
Yeah,
you're welcome. I look forward to seeing the film. Yeah, I'm going to watch
yeah,
the film.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, got a message through from Donna, just to say that she loves this project and thanks for all the work to bring the experience and she cannot wait for first step. Thank you, Donna.
Wow, thank you.
Sasha, you're up.
Yes.
You're live.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Budget, is that something...
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit. We heard something about budget.
Yeah.
The age-old question.
That,
Having some tech issues.
I only could hear.
Struggling to hear you, Sasha.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Am I here now?
There you go.
Yeah,
okay,
better.
Now.
Better.
Is it good?
Oh, wonderful.
Once again.
Okay.
Hurrah.
I was just wondering, in terms of budget, is that something that you had to go out and look for, or is this something that you were able to do on your own?
Yeah, so when we talked about Second Step, we were in this nice situation that this one was a commissioned project. So we had... this was fine for us. We only wanted to have the possibility to distribute it internationally. So we reduced the amount, so that we could get these international possibilities. And this is. Okay, so that's great. But when it's about First Step, this was a project we did for our own, and there was a company, the Deutsche Telekom, they supported us, but most of the money, is our own money, and we have to look where to get it back. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sasha.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Anyone else? Any questions? All up. Questions. Okay. Let's see what's on the list. Zeke.
Good. I was wondering about is the VR, did you choose Veer VR to be the platform, or are you going to expand on YouTube, or what made you choose Veer VR over YouTube VR?
So Veer is a platform which is looking for the whole thing. And so, for example, this event, so how to launch it, how to publish it. So we are supported by VR, and that's a great and, very important point. And when it's about other platforms or whatever, so we are free to do that, and we, of course, we think about other possibilities. but it's very exhausting to do all of that stuff for our own, and we need support of others, of distribution companies, and I think Real is a great one. Yeah.
Big thanks to Maria for being our guest at the event, and shout out to Veer for letting me post these interviews on the podcast. But the biggest shout out goes to you guys for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to subscribe for more interviews as well as conversational episodes with myself and Alex, which will be coming soon. If you haven't seen Alex's TEDx talk yet, then why the hell not? I'll put the link in the show notes, so now you have no excuse. Also, I'd be super grateful if you could give us a nice review on iTunes, as it really helps, according to the internet. If there are any VR filmmakers you'd like me to try and get on the podcast, or if you're one yourself and you want to jump on an episode to talk about your work, feel free to reach out to me on either Instagram or Twitter at Daniel K. Hatton. That's H-A-T-T-O-N with the Daniel K. beforehand. Thanks again to you all for taking the time out of your days to listen to the podcast. I really appreciate the support. Take care, and I shall see you on the next one.